And Jesus, light of the world, shine your light, bring your healing, bring your peace, we pray. Amen. Bob's going to bring us our reading.
So the reading's from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Thanks, Bob. Before I start, I believe I need to explain the comment I made to Rachel earlier on, because some of you might not understand it. I've been told, when we were at Bible College, we had some things going on, and one of them was connected to a verse and a response that the Anglicans use. You know that in the Anglicans, so the Lord be with you, and it comes back, and also with you. And we kind of mucked about with that a little bit. So it became, there's something wrong with this microphone, and also with you. There's something wrong with the PowerPoint, and also with you. So, yeah, sorry, it's one of those things, sometimes you get things in your mind that just automatically come out, and you wish they hadn't. So, sorry, Rachel. You can beat me up afterwards. If my wife doesn't first. Just form an orderly queue, why not? When I was a child, I was scared of the dark. Anybody else want to admit to that? You were scared of the dark when you were a child? Yeah, okay. We moved house when I was about 13, and this house had a very long garden with a path down the side that led to a garage that was at the rear of the property. And it had one of those sensor lights on, not one of those, exactly one of those, but one of those sensor lights above the door. But at night, the path itself was completely dark. The light didn't come on till you got to the garage door, so you could see to unlock the garage door and all that sort of stuff. So every now and then, my dad would send me up the garden path to the garage to get something for him. I don't think he was being malicious, and as he's no longer around to defend himself, I'm not going to say any more on that. But because the path was completely dark, I'd run up the path as quickly as I could in the dark so I could get the light to come on as quickly as possible. And then on the way back, I'd run back as quickly as possible to try and get back to the house before the light went off. And I did this till I was about 19. No. And it's a common thing, isn't it? There's something about the dark that makes many people feel uncomfortable. Unless you're trying to get to sleep. Then hotels sell their rooms and things like that on. We've got complete blackout curtains, so it's completely dark when you go to sleep. Unless you're married to someone who likes to have the telly on or something else like that. But darkness has always been seen as threatening. It's been seen as a time when bad things happen and bad people are at large. And we see this reflected in several scriptures. Here's just a couple. John 3, 19 and 20, which says, people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Bad stuff happens when it's dark, when it's nighttime. And of course, darkness is also interpreted spiritually. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And to this, Jesus says to those of us who follow him, I am the light of the world, John 9, verse 5. But also in today's reading that Bob read so wonderfully for us just now, you, as in anyone who follows him, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and he makes us the light of the world too. And he says this, he says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. In a dark world, Christians are to be light. Now, please note again, our good deeds are because we are already God's. We already know that we're loved by God. We know that we've been rescued, and we've just been celebrating that on the communion table. And it's not good deeds in order to get God to like us enough to make us his people, because we are his already. And if we are his, if we are adopted as sons and daughters into his family, then we are called to bear his family likeness. We're called to be like God. 1 John 1 says this. I'm sorry if that's not clear. It was very clear to me when I was preparing it. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is light, and we are called to walk in the light, to have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. We are not to be like the people of the world who sneak around doing dark things, or the spiritual powers of darkness that oppose God. God is light, and we are to walk in the light. Now, this is going back a few years. Now, back to the mid-1980s, so I recognise that at least a third of the people in here probably weren't born then. Am I being too generous? Maybe. I don't know. There was a song by a guy called Steve Camp. Some of you might remember him. And this is the album cover. But the song was called Fire and Ice. You can still listen to it on the Tube of You, if you would like to. And I'm sure it's on the spot of Ifi as well. But definitely, well, I found it on YouTube. And one line on it is this. It's fire and ice, darkness and light can never live together. It's day or it's night, it's wrong or it's right, one way or another. Fire and ice, darkness and light can never live together. It's day or it's night, it's wrong or it's right, one way or another. And we know that it's true. When you walk into a dark room and you switch the light on, what happens? The dark runs away, doesn't it? Yeah? Darkness cannot live where there is light. The two do not go together. And our reading from Matthew talks about us being a light that shines into the darkness, a beacon on a hill that can be seen for miles around and can draw people to it. And I love what Jesus says here. He says, you don't put a light on a stand and then cover it up. Because what's the point of putting a light on somewhere and then covering it up? You might as well not put the light on in the first place. But Jesus is saying that anyone who follows him is like a beacon on a hill that can be seen for miles around and can draw people to it. Charles Spurgeon had a really good illustration for this. He called it the lamplighters. And actually it was a project to raise money for the now, sadly, no longer Spurgeon's College. And he had this vision, and it was a vision of South Norwood Hill, if you know that part of London where the college was. Oh, that sounds horrible. Of lights going on up the hill as it gets dark. You know, like when we drive along the road and suddenly the street lights come on one by one. And that the light is Jesus, but we are the lights that come on when we have contact with Jesus. So yes, we are to be this big light. Church is the light on the hill in Biggleswade. But we are the littler lights, smaller lights, lesser lights, whatever you want to call it, that spread out into our community to shine for Jesus where we are. And wherever we go and we're shining for Jesus, the darkness gets pushed back. That is a biblical fact. You might not feel that very often in your life, but it is the truth that if we are walking in the light, wherever we go, the light goes and darkness has to disappear. Think of it like on a stage, and you've got the main actor or the main singer who's followed around by a spotlight. Yeah, so they start off on stage left, and the spotlight's over here, and stage right's in darkness. But as they walk across the stage, what happens? They take the light with them, don't they? And the light, so they take the light through the darkness to where they've got to stop to do their thing. That's what we're called to do. We're called to take the light of Christ with us wherever we go. Sadly, a lot of us do try to bring the two things together and let them coexist in our lives, whether that's fire and ice or darkness and light. We think about darkness in pretty large terms, don't we? Here's some things that I'm sure you'll agree are all dark, wrong, evil, and so on. Murder, paedophilia, military or economic aggression or imperialism, racism, sexism, persecution of believers. Well, obviously, only those who believe the same as us, obviously. Hostage taking, terrorism. These are evil things. These are things that we associate with the powers and the principalities of this dark world. And rightly, we don't agree with things like that. We don't get involved with things like that. But when we're thinking about living life with God as our priority, as the most important person in our lives, that means we need to look closely at ourselves and how we live as well. Am I trying to live with darkness and light in my life at the same time? Jesus says this. He says, even if we think bad things about another person, that's murder. That's quite a high standard, isn't it? I was watching a... No, I can't mention it, it's football. Never mind. No, I'm going to. Watching Chelsea yesterday, and they were 3-0 up with 2 minutes to go, and one of our players goes and gets himself sent off. No need for it, no danger to the game, anything else, and I called him an idiot. According to Jesus, if you call someone an idiot, that's as good as murdering them. That's how strict he is on that. How many people have you or I murdered in the last couple of weeks? Quite a few of you probably murdered me this morning after that joke, but there we go. If we look lustfully at someone that we're not married to, Jesus says that's adultery. What about gossip? Being economical with the truth. Oh, it's only a little white lie, that won't hurt. What about putting ourselves before others? We may think that these are not so bad, but God's word points to these as being things connected with darkness too. These are things that diminish God's light in our lives. Take the image of a candle, if you like, and reduces the oxygen around the candle until the flame gets smaller. This might sound quite radical. I hope it does, and I hope it makes us stop and think. Just because something is socially acceptable doesn't mean that Christians should be involved in it. Not that radical then, okay. Just because something is socially acceptable doesn't mean Christians should be involved with it. Let me give you a topical example. Something that's become more and more socially acceptable over the years, especially since one of our largest supermarket chains was taken over by an American company. I'm talking about Halloween. I went into Asda this week. There's a whole aisle with the most hideous masks and outfits and accessories and things that they want our kids to buy, or they want us to buy for our kids to celebrate Halloween. And it's marketed as a time of harmless fun, a time of adventure, even friendship. But its focus is linked to darkness and things of darkness. Ghosts, witches, demons, monsters, the devil himself. If Jesus says thinking badly about someone or something is as good as murder, what would he say to us if we dressed up or we dressed our children up as one of those things? As something the Bible tells us to have absolutely nothing to do with. And if you think, well, that's all right, I'll get them dressed up as Superman or Spider-Man or something like that instead. Still missing the point, because the point of these things is to celebrate darkness and evil. All Hallows' Eve, traditionally, was a night when people thought that the spirits moved around the country doing mischief and bad things. The day after is All Saints' Day, where traditionally people prayed for the saints who had gone before, but All Hallows Eve, which is what Halloween is, was a day recognised as a day for evil and darkness, mischief and danger. And you think about it, if someone knocks on your door and you don't give them anything, they're likely to egg your door or your car, aren't they? That's not much fun. I know of older people who are terrified on Halloween because of who or what might come to their door. The police now give out information and advice to people about how to deal with Halloween. But it's just harmless fun. But it's not, because it's a gateway into things that we don't understand. And that's why we call it the occult, because the occult is something that we don't understand. And Halloween's just one example of things that are now socially acceptable. Then we do that. Other things like Dungeons and Dragons and certain types of music and stuff like that, studies have been done that could possibly be gateways into more engagement with evil. And don't even get me started on Ouija boards and stuff like that. Just keep away. And because that's what Halloween is about at its root, that's one reason why we have a light party. Which of those pictures do you prefer, that one or that one? Says a lot, doesn't it? Yeah? If that was just harmless fun, we wouldn't be bothered by it. But I bet some of you have been sitting there thinking, I wish he'd changed that picture. Yeah, there you go. And a light party brings the light into the darkness. It celebrates the light of God's love that overpowers the darkness. And that's great. But you know what? It doesn't actually reach that far out into our community, does it? I'm not knocking it. I think it's brilliant and I'll be there supporting it. It's almost like that's a refuge for our church children to come. But here's a thought. Is there a way that we could be more proactive and literally shine our light into our community on Halloween night? Is there a way we could do that? Could we stand outside our homes with something positive to give out that talks about Jesus, the light of the world, and that talks about the dangers of Halloween? Could we involve our own children in doing something positive about bringing light into the darkness out there? Jesus never said the church should hide inside when there's darkness outside. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Is there something we can do that would turn things away from darkness and towards light rather than simply avoid what's going on? You can still have a stash of sweets to give away, but also something that speaks of the light of Jesus and the dangers of messing with the occult. Maybe we could set up a little table on our street somewhere, covered with lots of lights, and give away, I don't know, free hot chocolate, sausage rolls. I don't know why I put sausage rolls. Just warm, I guess. Yeah. I'm not a particular fan of sausage rolls. Bacon rolls, now that's a different matter, yeah. With a fried egg in it, just steady on. But do you see what I'm trying to say here? It's trying to put something positive out in the midst of that negativity and darkness. That takes courage, it takes guts. But there's a friend of ours at our last church who does this every year, doesn't she? I can't remember exactly what she does, so I'm hoping you can remember. Yes, please. So this is my memory.
This particular friend
who
was very, very anti doing anything for Halloween. We did used to do light parties at the church. And then she felt very challenged just a few years ago to actually have a table at the end of their drive and to serve hot chocolate or soup, I think she did. And she put together some goodie bags. And so it had sweets in it, but it also had like a little thing about Jesus in it, about Jesus being the light. It was all very positive, and her kids thought she lost the plot to start off with, but then each year it's built, and now they have children coming specifically to their house to get what they're giving out, which is light, which is Jesus, and it's just fantastic. And yeah.
And it's not one of those nice, pleasant estates either, to see.
Do the children dress up? I don't know. Quite possibly in something Superman or something. I don't know. Their kids are...
If that's something you'd like to think about doing, we are able to resource that to an extent. I have ordered some of these little booklets.
I was just going to
still do that. I got them straight from CPO rather than, sorry. I get into trouble sometimes. You might notice this. When I order things straight from the producers rather than from a certain shop. But there will be some of this stuff around that we can take away and give out. If that's something that you feel God might be saying for you to do, it would be great if we could do something like that. Because when we sit in here, we're very sure that the light of the world conquers the darkness. But we say it so many times, we don't just want this to be a lecture theatre or a discussion group. We want to be active in our faith and challenging our society. Because light transforms darkness. And then away from Halloween, what about other times? Where can we make sure light overcomes darkness? At home, at work, in our community, even in our nation. You know, as a church, we already run several programmes based in the building aimed at this. But we want to equip individuals and families and groups to make a stand wherever darkness seems to be encroaching. And then finally, what about darkness in our own lives? This is probably the most important place to start. Are there things in here that God wouldn't want us to have in here? Thoughts, attitudes, actions, words, things we watch, the things we listen to, the things we read. Can we trust God enough to let him do what's on the screen? Interesting that Cliff mentioned part of Psalm 139 at the start of the service. And you probably all remember, I think it's the greatest psalm that was ever written anyway. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a big prayer to pray. And it's also the definition there of offensive is not what society thinks is offensive or thinks is okay. It's what God says in his word is offensive or not okay. So I'm saying that's quite a big prayer to pray. But the more often we pray that, the more often we allow God access to those dark places in our lives. Do you know what will happen? The brighter the light of Christ will burn in us. And the more like Jesus we'll become. Because in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So if we're in Christ, first of all, we don't need to fear the darkness. We have his authority to confront it. We have his authority to shine God's light on it. We have his authority to chase it away. And in Christ, we have very clear instruction as how to live. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Sometimes we're scared of darkness because we think it might pollute us, or it might overcome us, or it might damage us or our church. But here in God's word it says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that's illuminated becomes a light, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. God's promise here is that we have victory over the darkness. We don't need to be afraid, but we can trust him and allow him to work in us to shine more brightly. Shall we pray? Father, we've had a lot to think about there this morning. And it's been very challenging to look into our own lives and our own practices, as well as to think about the wider impact of darkness in this world. And Lord, we just thank you for the songs that we've sung this morning that have pointed us to your light overcoming darkness. We thank you for these verses in your word that remind us that light is stronger than darkness. And we thank you that if we allow you to search us, we can shine more brightly for you and we can make a difference right where we are. Lord, we are rightly concerned about things like Halloween. And we often don't really know how to deal with them. But maybe you've just put a seed in our hearts and our minds today. Would you give us the courage to respond and to follow through what it is you're saying to us? May this place, this church family, shine brighter and brighter for you in our community. And may many come to know you because we choose to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Lord, if we're to do that, we need you to shine on us and to shine in us and to change us from the inside out. We ask that you, in your mercy, would do that so that we can be more like Jesus, the light of the world, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.